Earl, and the trap. Omar had asked Earl to take care of his pet squirrel, Grapenut, while he visited one of his relatives. Earl had taken the animal into the woods and was letting him run through the trees as exercise. Earl liked animals and had a way of communicating that made them feel comfortable and earned him lots of friends. As Grapenut jumped from limb to limb and Earl watched, Earl wondered what happened to the young bear that he had found in the garage and who had finally gone back into the woods searching for the rest of his family. He had communicated with the bear by tapping his fingers, and the bear had responded with the taps of its claws. With Grapenut, he wasn't sure what the squirrel was saying, but given his actions, he knew he was happy. The only problem with playing in the woods, thought Earl, was that ogres often were in the woods, and I need to be careful. It was then that Grapenut stopped high on a branch and listened. He then scampered down the branch, down the tree trunk, and Earl thought he was going to jump on him, but he ran right past, heading for a bigger tree. It was then that Earl heard the crashing noise through the underbrush of what he knew was the harsh step of an ogre. Earl realized that Grapenut was climbing a tree that was tall and straight, and which Earl himself could climb. He looked around for a place to hide and decided Grapenut was right. He followed Grapenut, climbing the lower limbs and going higher and higher. One thing about ogres was that they didn't like to be high above the ground. Maybe he could hide in the leaves, and even if not, the ogre was unlikely to climb as high as he would. The ogre was big and heavy, and Earl was light and small. High up in the tree, Earl listened carefully as the ogre came closer and closer. Just as he came below the tree, the ogre stopped and looked around. Grapenut was jumping around the branches, nervous about the ogre. Ogres ate squirrels. Earl tried to calm the little squirrel down, and the ogre never looked up. After a moment, the ogre kept walking with a big, heavy step through the underbrush and out into the field. After several minutes, Earl could no longer hear the ogre. He looked at Grapenut. "What do you think? Is it safe to go down?" The squirrel chippered and made noises. Grapenut thought it was safe. The two of them climbed down, and Earl edged towards the field to take a peek to see if he could see anything. There was no ogre. But across the field, near the edge of the forest, Earl noticed a small furry animal sleeping on the edge of the forest. Earl wondered whether it might be a deer or a fox. He had better go and scare it away, because if the ogre found it, he would capture it. Checking to make sure there was nothing in the field, with Grapenut on his shoulder, he walked across the field to look at the sleeping furry animal. He couldn't quite tell what kind of animal it was. He was worried as he got closer. It wasn't moving. Maybe it had died there. Closer and closer he stepped, and again listening for the ogre. The little furry animal, however, didn't move, even as Earl came very close to it. As he stood right next to it and looked at it, it looked like the coat of a fox, but it was all balled up. Maybe it was sleeping. He slowly pushed his foot out and bumped the side of the animal to try to get it to wake up before the ogre came back. As he did that, he realized it's not alive, but just the coat of an animal, like a fox. That's odd. As Earl touched the fox coat, a rope hidden inside it, which was tied to a bent branch, was released. The rope circled around his ankle and foot and pulled him into the air as the bent limb straightened. Grapenut fell to the ground and looked up as Earl was lifted high into the air by the rope tied to the limb of a tree. The fox coat had hidden a trap, and now Earl had been caught in it. He was dangling from one foot, and his head was 8 feet off the ground with nothing to hold on to. The limb of the tree was high above him, and the rope noose was tight around his ankle, and he couldn't get loose. He looked around for Grapenut, but he was gone. He then heard the sound of the ogre. Across the field, coming out of the bushes, the ogre was striding towards him with a big smile on its face. Earl struggled to try to untie the noose around his leg, but he couldn't do it. A moment later, he was looking at the face of an ogre a few feet below him. He had his hands on his hips and was smiling at him and was talking. "My trap worked," the ogre said. Look what I've got, a little boy. Although he is kind of skinny, I still think he'd make a good dinner. The ogre then rubbed his hands together and looked at him. Let me down, said Earl. The ogre looked at him and said, I certainly will let you down, but not quite yet. I need to get my fire ready and find some vegetables. I'm going to make a nice stew, carrots, potatoes, and a tasty little boy. But don't you worry, you're going to be part of the dinner. For now, I think I like you where you are. If I bring you down, then I have to watch you, but up there, you're not going anywhere. I'll be right back. With that, the ogre started putting some rocks around on the ground to make a little fire, gathering some sticks and stones, putting them so that he'd be able to light it soon. Then striding off, looking for some vegetables that he was going to cook and add to the stew that Earl knew would include him. Earl didn't know what to do, but he did know he needed to figure out how to get away. Maybe when the ogre pulled him down from the tree, he'd be able to twist and run away. Maybe when he tried to put him in the boiling pot of potatoes and onions, he would jump out. Earl thought he could try it, but once the ogre grabbed him in his big hand and started putting him in the pot, it might be too late. What else could he do, though? It was then that he heard Grape Nut. He looked up, and on the edge of the branch, near the trunk of the tree, he saw the little squirrel. Grape Nut, said Earl, I'm glad you've gotten away. I'm certain that you would have been added to the stew if the ogre had caught you. At least you'll get back to Omar. If you can, bring him here so he can collect my bones, because the ogre will have eaten me by then. To his surprise, though, instead of running away, the little squirrel ran out along the branch until he was just above him. He could see the big rope around the limb of the tree. The squirrel hesitated and then began to gnaw on the rope. Earl realized that Grape Nut was trying what he was trying to do, and he started to look around to make sure that the ogre didn't come back. Good, Grape Nut. Good. Chew as fast as you can. He could see the squirrel working, gnawing hard through the fibers of the rope, and he hoped that it would happen soon enough. Earl could hear the ogre singing happily in the woods. Although the sound of an ogre singing was not very pleasant, Earl was concerned that it was getting louder, and still Grape Nut was chewing away on the rope. It'll be close, Earl thought. And suddenly the rope let go, and Earl fell to the ground, rolling over in the grass to avoid getting hurt. It was just then that the ogre came through the edge of the woods on the far side of the field with vegetables in hand that he had pulled from the ground. The ogre stopped and was looking at the tree where Earl just had been with an expression of surprise. There was no hanging Earl there. Earl was scrambling towards the woods, and then the ogre spotted him, threw down the potatoes, and started running across the field. Earl was running through the woods and down the hill, and he could hear the ogre crashing into the woods behind him. He hoped that Grape Nut stayed in the tree. Earl looked for a place to hide. What about the cave, where he tricked the last ogre with a stick from Ichabod? Maybe he could get there. He started running to his right, but he realized that the ogre, maybe the same one from last time, had thought of this cave too, and was running to cut him off. Earl wouldn't be able to make it there. Earl switched directions, and instead of running right, started running left. The ogre was laughing and shouting, "You may have thought you could run into this cave, but now you can't. Now I'm going to hunt you down." He started running towards Earl, not at as fast a speed, but fast enough so that he was gaining on him. Earl was running as fast as he could. Earl now sees another cave, off on the left, although it has a big opening. The ogre might be able to chase him into it, but what choice did he have? If he tried to climb a tree, the ogre would catch him before he was high enough, and if he kept running, the ogre would just get closer and closer, and then grab him with his long muscled arms, his hairy fingers closing around his leg, pulling him back towards a fire, towards a black pot filled with potatoes. Earl runs for the wide-mouthed cave. He could hear the ogre laughing even louder. "I've got you trapped. That cave's big enough for both of us. I'm coming in right after you." As Earl reached the mouth of the cave, he realized that it was deeper than he thought. It was completely dark, and he had to walk with his hands out because He was afraid he'd run into rocks. He walked into the cave, and he could hear the ogre now at the face of the cave. "I know you're in there, and I'm going to come and get you." Earl heard the heavy tread of the big steps of the ogre as he felt his way into the cave. The ogre said, "Don't make me come in there, little boy. You should come out. I can't see you, but you can't run past me." The ogre stuck his hands out and felt his way along, slowly moving into the cave. "It's dark. The ogre can feel the rock on both sides of him. The little boy would never be able to get by him. He could feel some bones along the floor. Huh, an animal has already been in the cave. It, too, has eaten other animals." "Come out, come out," said the ogre. "There's no reason to stay in the dark. I'm going to catch you no matter what. Come out now, and you'll see a little bit of sunlight before you get eaten." The cave was getting a little bit smaller, and the ogre had to get down on his hands and knees to crawl forward. The ogre filled the width of the cave. This would prevent the little boy from getting out. He could feel the ground and the rock and the cool air. "Maybe there is another animal in here," thought the ogre. "Then I'd have two meals, a little boy and something else for dessert, like a fox. And I should have caught that little squirrel," the ogre thought. He kept crawling, feeling with his hand in front of him, hoping to catch a leg or a shoe or maybe an arm of a little boy. He'd be happy if he caught another fox like the one he caught before and which he had used to trick the boy. But even if he hadn't caught another fox, he'd be happy with the boy himself. Further and further in, the ogre crawled. He listened for the little boy. "Where are you, little boy? The cave can't be much deeper." As the ogre felt the ground in front of him, "Ah," said the ogre as he felt something, "there's a shoe." He pulled the shoe towards him, but it was just an empty shoe. It must have slipped off the boy as he went deep into the cave. The ogre reached out further. He touched something soft. "A sock," said the ogre to himself. "We're getting close." Again he crawled forward and reached up, but instead of a foot or an arm, he felt something furry. "Good," thought the ogre. "It's warm, so it's fur that's still on an animal." The ogre touched it more. It wasn't silky smooth fur like a fox, or a bristly sort of fur like a groundhog. "Hmm," said the ogre. "I don't think I know this kind of fur. I wonder what kind of animal this is." It was then that the bear leaped forward and attacked the ogre. Later, after the ogre had been badly scratched and bitten and run out of the cave with the big bear snapping behind him, Earl came out of the cave. Now he knew what had happened to his friend the little bear that had gone into the woods. He had become a big bear and lived in this cave. Earl felt lucky that he lived in the big cave, and luckier still that the bear recognized the smell of him when he had run into him as he had scrambled into the back of the cave. But the bear had wrapped him in his big furry arms, and then Earl, who didn't know what had happened, heard the clicking sound of the bear saying hello. A moment later, the bear had smelled the ogre coming into the cave, and this bear didn't like ogres, didn't like them at all. Earl walked home and found Grape not far from the edge of the forest, waiting in a tree. They went home together.